go. Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week I get together with my friends to talk about Xbox news, rumors, and games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show if you wish at questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is our 216th episode, and I'm
very important number.
Yeah, not really. 216. It's the numbers, Mason. What do they mean?
Until we get to episode 313 or 343, excuse me.
343 or 420.
Even though people hate them now.
666 or...
Jeez, 666.
Anyway, 666 will be a Doom Eternal themed episode.
After 666, it's 750, and then after that, it's 1,000.
Yeah.
1,000 episode special when we're in, like...
Jeez, 1,000 episodes.
The nursing home.
That's what, 20... Is that 20 years or 10 years? 50
episodes
a year.
We've been doing this for what, for 3 years now?
Yeah, it's 20 years. 1,000 episodes is 20 years at 50 episodes a year. That's nuts. I hope that math's right, because somebody listening to this is probably like, you idiot.
Looks like that doesn't sound right. Because it's only been 3 years and we've done almost 250. Wow.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking is 50 episodes a year, 10 years, that's 500. So
yeah,
20 years would be 1,000. So that's where the math came from in my head. Anyway, I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Gus Harden. And we said last week that Spencer might be able to record this week because he hopefully would be in his new house. Well, sort of true. He's literally, he had dinner at my house tonight, and he lives, I don't know, 30 minutes away, 40 minutes away. And he was driving home, but it's his first night staying in his new place, and they have to unpack some more. So he's not joining us to record tonight.
Bruce is with us at least.
Oh, yeah. Have we ever acknowledged on the podcast that you have a cat named Bruce Wayne?
Well, we acknowledged it last week because he was standing on my shoulder at one point, and Spencer was talking. He like lost his train of thought.
Yeah, and so, well, he said something, but I don't think like we explained for the audience. They probably just like, why is a guy named Bruce standing on Gus's shoulder?
Yeah, nope, that is my tuxedo cat who I've named after Bruce Wayne because I am a nerd and I do like Batman, so. He's a tuxedo cat.
He
kind of looks like Batman because his chin and like lower lip is white, and so it looks like he's wearing a mask.
That's cool. Harley Quinn season 3. I'm not going to say it on the podcast, but it's really cool what they do with Bruce Wayne that turns it on its head for like a comedic effect, but also in a really cool way. I really like Harley Quinn as a show and how it reinvents the DC universe for like a new interpretation without like totally throwing out the canon. It's really cool. If you like DC stuff, you should watch Harley Quinn on HBO Max. It's really good. Anyway, let's talk about what we've been playing this week. Gus, why don't you go first?
So a new DLC came out for Hearts of Iron 4. As if anybody knows, that is a grand strategy game from Paradox Interactive, who we have mentioned on the podcast before, and we've been very thankful because we've gotten codes for Stellaris through them for the console version of that game and for Crusader Kings 3. So I always love shouting them out on the podcast.
Joke. I guarantee we're probably the most coverage that a grand strategy games get on a console podcast anywhere in console podcast-dom.
Yeah. Anybody else will just get like an episode. It's just one of those things that we just like Assassin's Creed. We tend to cover fairly often. But they did release a new DLC. It's called Blood Alone. Is available now. They're not paying me to say this. I'm just
how much was it?
It was $20, like all their other ones.
Oh wow.
New focus tree for Italy, which has been a meme in the community because Italy obviously was a great power in World War II. Well, you may feel free to disagree. I would disagree. But they were a major power in the world in 1936, which is when the game begins. So they got a new focus tree, which again, like I said, was a meme in the community because it had not been touched since the release of the game in 2016. So 6 years, almost 6.5 years from the release date, they gave it a new focus tree, which basically Focus tree is kind of like something that you complete throughout the game's lifespan, which of course, like I said, starts in 1936, and it gives you different things you can do for bonuses. Some of the historical ones, actually, you have you might complete one, and it'll actually make your nation worse until you're able to complete a couple others, simply because it's like it's the historical path, and not everybody was making the best decisions under pressure in the late 1930s, obviously. But yeah, so Italy hadn't had theirs touched, and it was the Italy focus tree was the size of some other nation's alternate history path. If that is anything that makes sense to anyone listening to this, which is basically like if you wanted to become communist as the United States during World War II, they have an entire focus tree path for that amongst the other ones between going fascist, non-aligned, staying democratic, which democratic had two because you had one where you could go more interventionist, which is not the path the U.S. took before World War II until we were attacked. Or like the less interventionist one, which is the historical focus tree path. But like I said, the size of the Italy one was almost smaller, if not like just if equal to the alternate history path on some of these other these great nations. And I mean the whole thing, not just like their normal like historical path, like including their Air Force path, their naval path. All of that was all small and tiny. So that got revamped. And with that, Italy got that DLC. Obviously, Italy was at war with Ethiopia in 1936, which I don't know why I say obvious. A lot of people do not know. And it's funny because it was their second time they were at war with Ethiopia in a 40-year span. So it's technically the second Italo-Ethiopian war that Benito Mussolini is waging. So Ethiopia got their own focus tree, which you would think, like, why? Because they were wiped off the face of the map for essentially 7 years, if not longer, actually, if 1936 to 1943, probably. So I guess, yeah, 7 years. Switzerland also got their own focus tree, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It makes sense that Italy would get a revamped one. That's fine. I thought that was going to be a kind of like a free DLC that they just release because Ethiopia and Switzerland's like, seeing as how the Nordic countries of Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, none of those have their own focus tree, which is interesting because Paradox is a Swedish based company. So for them to not have any of those nations have their own focus tree yet is kind of not like appalling, but it's very surprising. It must just be saving the best for last, I guess, because those are the only major minor nations that don't have a focus tree. But yeah, they released a new DLC for that. It's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. I've been playing it a lot. Basically, anytime they release a DLC, I'm hooked back into Hearts of Iron for like two, three months. Which granted, each DLC comes out like a year apart, so it doesn't like keep me occupied the whole time, but I love checking it out. Yeah, other than that, playing a lot of Smite still. Been playing a lot of Smite, enjoying that still. And so I've been playing Pokemon, which is my thing that I do at work when I'm bored, if there's nothing a whole lot going on at my second job, or when I'm on break at my main job. So yeah.
I'm still playing Deathloop. I play a little bit on Xbox Cloud. Play a lot more on console. Nothing really to say there. I did play three interesting things that are off the beaten path for me this week. First, I've been playing Cyberpunk 2077 because I talked to CDPR's PR, CD Projekt Red's PR, and they sent me a code for the PC version of the game. And the reason that's interesting is because if you remember in patch 1.6, they added cross save. So the reason I wanted to check out the PC version is I wanted to see how the cross save works, since this is the first time it's been implemented in a CDPR game. And it took me a second to figure it out, because on Xbox, you have to log in on your Xbox and link you basically have to like enable cloud saving. And it's hidden down in the corner where it says cloud saving, and you hit like a button to bring up the little box and it'll say like to enable, click here. And I did that. And once you do that, it uploads your first, your most recent manual save, auto save, and one other type of save. There are three types of saves, and it does the most recent of each of those types and puts them in the cloud. And then when you go to another platform and you log in on the same, what's it called, GOG account or CDPR account, you can load any of those saves. So I did that. I loaded my Xbox save on PC and I played for a while, and then I saved and I was able to go back to Xbox and just pick it up. So it worked pretty well, except for the initial setup was slightly harder than I thought because it wasn't just automatic. I had to first go to my Xbox, enable it, then go back to PC. And the first time I went to PC and it wasn't there, I was like, oh no, this is broken. It must not be retroactive. Like, I must have to create a new save to push it to the cloud. But it turns out that was wrong. All I needed to do was enable the cloud cross-platform saving on Xbox, which it was already on PC by default. So that was interesting. But it seems like a good implementation. And this is actually going to come up in the news. So I'll stop talking about that and bring it back up in a minute.
It's weird. So today I was looking for, since it is officially spooky season, is now October. I was looking for Monster Mash on Spotify to see if it was on, if it was trending on any of like their like daily charts or anything. And I saw that something, and I assume it's from the anime that they released on Netflix. But there were like two or three songs from that I noticed, like I knew it was Cyberpunk based off of like the logo that they had on the side, that said that there were like two or three songs that were like on like their viral hits chart. And I was like, interesting that that's like a thing. Yep. Like I said, it had to be the anime.
It's from Edgerunners, which is the anime on Netflix.
Yep. So, I thought about checking one of those out, but I just didn't. But you mentioning that reminded me of that.
But I need to get back to Edgerunners. I've only watched the first episode, and I liked it. I never got back to it.
To Cyberpunk, because I haven't really touched it at all.
Man, every time... $10. Yeah, you got it for $10. I own two copies. I think I paid full price for one, and then I bought the second one for $10 so I could have a disc copy. Because I think I've said this on the show, but I love CDPR's disc copies, because they put such good printed materials inside of it. You don't just get like a controls, like one page, like manual. You get like a thick map, and like, they just do a lot more with their physical releases. The other two things I've been playing, Doom Eternal's DLC, The Ancient Gods Part 1. I've been playing that. I wanted something that was easy to get back into as far as like not being a long time commitment. And since that's a DLC, it's only like 4 to 6 hours long. I was like, oh yeah, I'll just jump into this. Plus it's a first person shooter, kind of linear, fast paced, really fun. I like Doom Eternal when I played the base game. So I knew I'd like the DLC. I got it on sale at some point and just never played it. So I've been playing that. And then the other weird thing is Brett, who's been on the show, he bought me Escape from Tarkov, the PC game that's in early access, and or beta, or I don't know what the official term is, but he wanted somebody to play with, so he bought that for me out of nowhere and just sent it to me and said, check your email. And so I've been learning to play that with him. I think I've only played it twice, maybe three times. I think I experimented once without Brett. Man, I have a hard time with this game. It is super dense, and without Brett like walking me through it, I don't know that I could do it, because the game doesn't explain anything to you, like even how to extract from the maps. Like,
one of my very good friends is like really into Tarkov. Like, that's like it's the only game he plays, which to me is like, I know we've talked about this on the podcast before about how there are people who only play one game and like that is their escape, like, or slash, like that's just all they play.
Yeah. And like Fortnite,
and there are people, Madden, like that. Like, FIFA. I mean, like, obviously, yeah, like PUBG is one of those. FIFA's one. Apex,
Call Legends of Duty,
is one.
Warzone.
Call of Duty is one. Yeah, exactly. And to me, it's like that is still just like so foreign, because although my gaming is like kind of decreased in the last year, I mean, this week alone, I still played three things. I mean, I played Hearts of Iron 4. I played Pokemon. I played Smite. Like, I mean, that's a pretty wide range of genres. Still,
yeah.
for me, somebody who thinks that I don't play as much video games as I used to, if that is so.
Yeah, that's true. I played five games.
The only play Tarkov
week.
Is like, Not that I have any problem with it, but to me, it's like, it's still foreign to me only being able to, because I love variety. But I mean, for some people, Tarkov is that game, and I've never quite played it. I've seen videos on it on YouTube, and it seems interesting. It looks fun, but
yeah,
it seems like it would be hard to get into, especially now.
It is hard to get into.
Lifespan. I bet there are people who just train people.
Yeah.
Often.
Well, and that's kind of helpful because Brett is kind of like my Sherpa. Like, he's teaching me the game, and we go in together. But the way it's structured and the missions and stuff is all just so different, and it doesn't tell you anything. Like, in the map, when you're playing, there's no compass, there's no map. It doesn't even put a waypoint on your teammate.
It's almost like Arma, like a true combat simulator.
Yeah. And so I'm probably only going to play that when I play with Brett, because he's my guide. And since I don't have as much time to commit to it as like someone that would commit, it's mostly a social thing, but it's interesting. I didn't hate it, but I also feel like it's a humbling experience, because I feel like I could spend 100 hours with it
on something
and still know nothing. It's like, you put that many hours into it? No, I'm saying I feel like I could put 100 hours into it and still know nothing.
Well, it's like kind of like a meme right now where it's like people like will say, it's like they'll choose a game like Call of Duty as their game that they play to relax. And it's like, more often than not, you just get pissed off at it. So why even play it?
The fifth game I played this week, because I played five different games this week, and actually I think I played more, I just none of them long enough to be noteworthy enough to mention on the podcast. I did play a little bit of Slime Rancher 2, which is that it just came out on Game Pass. It's in early access. You know what Slime Rancher is, Gus? It's kind of like
a
vacuum, and you vacuum up like little goo balls and you feed them to other things. It's almost like your
hungry hippos,
kind of like you're a zookeeper catching little Play-Doh people almost, but they're little globs of goo. They're called Slime Rancher. You're ranching slime. Anyway, the reason I plugged it in is I downloaded it on my Xbox Series S in the living room because I thought it's really bright colors and stuff, and I thought my kids would find it entertaining. So instead of them watching TV or doing something else, I was like, well, what if I do this, and they can like yell like, oh, there's a slime, dad, and I'll go get the slime. And so I was trying to do something interactive with my kids. It did not work. They did not care. But I did try Slime Rancher 2 briefly. They're still a little young to connect stuff like that together, but I was trying, you know, whatever. So man, there's a lot. As much as we're in a drought with the new update for Cyberpunk, Deathloop just came out on Game Pass, some other things that have kind of been bouncing around. I feel like I'm really having a lot to dig into lately. And a part of me also wants, I'm really tempted to play Shadows of Mordor or Shadow of War, the second Mordor game, now that I've been watching The Rings of Power on Amazon, just because I'm really into like Tolkien lore now. But I don't have time to start that because at some point, would still like to finish the Fallout 4 DLC that I was playing, and now I'm doing Doom Eternal, Deathloop, Cyberpunk, and Escape from Tarkov. So at some point, something is going to have to drop off. But let's talk about some news. And I want to open with something that really doesn't have a lot to do with Xbox, except for the parallels or comparisons, I should say, to Xbox Cloud, which is Google Stadia is shutting down as of January 18th, 2023. They announced
that was big news, too.
Yeah, and it kind of blew up the industry. I took a lot of notes on this because I'm going to kind of summarize everything that's gone down with this. First off, they're shutting it down January 18th, 2023, so you got a few months left. This is the coolest part. They're refunding all Stadia hardware purchases through the Google Store, all games that were purchased on the platform, and all add-on content that was purchased on the platform. So basically, the only way you're not getting your money back is if you bought the Stadia Pro subscription, which is like the equivalent of Xbox Live Gold or the old PlayStation Plus, which is like the premium subscription, or if you bought your hardware from somewhere other than Google, like if you bought it like Best Buy or Walmart or something, which I don't know where all it was sold. So there's definitely some people that probably aren't going to get refunds, but the fact that Google is doing that significant of a refund when it's going to cost them millions of dollars, in addition to the millions they're already losing with this thing being a failure. Then here's some stuff that is equal parts humorous as it is tragic. Like, for example, they announced this was being shut down on the 29th. There, that same day, PlayOn tweeted out, Hot Wheels Unleashed has released on Stadia today. And because they were shutting down Stadia, they shut down the store to where you can't buy new games now. So Hot Wheels Unleashed was released the same day they shut down the store and you can no longer buy anything. So they released the game and you can no longer buy it. And so PlayOn responded to their own tweet announcing that it was out with, I forget what the GIF was. It was some sort of like acknowledgement of how, like them blinking, like what just happened. But that's nothing compared to the indie developers who just got totally screwed. There's a bunch of them on Twitter where they're like, hey, our game was supposed to come out on Stadia in 2 days. Or, hey, our game was supposed to come out on Stadia today. Or, hey, our game is supposed to come out on Stadia in a week. And we all just heard about this on Twitter just now. And because when they decided to shut this down, they also shut down the store because they don't want people buying stuff when it's going to shut down in a few months. All those games that were about to come out or just came out can't be sold now because there's no ability to purchase games on Stadia. So all the work they put into launching on Stadia is gone. And I don't know if any of those games are Stadia exclusives or launching first on Stadia, but I hope, I heaven pray that those games are also on Steam and other places where people can support them and give them money for all that they just lost on Stadia. Really terrible situation. The bright spots being that they're doing refunds and there are some, I saw a horror story on Polygon or somewhere that this one guy had like 6,000 hours in Red Dead Redemption and he on Stadia and he can't get his save off. And he's like begging Rockstar to do cloud saves or something. Officially, Bungie for Destiny 2, Ubisoft for their games on Stadia, and IO Interactive for Hitman 3, those three studios have announced that they're working or looking into doing save transfers. So those are some of the biggest games on Stadia, with Destiny 2, all of Ubisoft's games, and Hitman 3. So hopefully those games do follow through in the next few months and do save transfers. Destiny 2 has it on other platforms, so you'd think that one would be doable easy. Ubisoft also has it on other platforms. So again, that one should be pretty easy. And IO Interactive, you know, they're working on it. So that's cool. Okay, like everybody, it's easy to dunk on Stadia because it kind of, the writing was on the wall from the beginning that this was never going to take off. But the flaw was their business model, right? You had to pay a pro subscription and buy your games basically in the beginning. And it made no sense because you were locked into streaming. So if this was ever going to work, it needed to be like a robust subscription service like Google. Like if Stadia was like Game Pass, where it's like, you know, 300-400 games and you just pay $10 a month and you can stream whatever you want, that might have had a chance. But Stadia's game library was fairly limited and you had to buy the games and stream them and pay for the subscription. And it was just way too much. The only way I think streaming is going to work is as a value add service like it is for Google, or I'm not Google, Xbox, where you already have Game Pass, but you can stream the games you want elsewhere on PC or Android, or like GeForce Now, where you're basically streaming from a computer in the cloud, your games that you already own, and then you can just pick them up again when you get home on your own computer using cloud saves. Those both work because it's an additive service playing the games you already own or the subscription you already have. It's not you paying to exclusively stream games. Gus, looks like you have a thought.
So for the less in tune of us with Stadia, basically what you're saying is if you own something on Stadia, you have no right to it now that it is shut down.
You can play it until January for free.
Right, but after that, it's
gone.
It's not like I have a hard copy of a disc that I can just hold on to.
Yep. You have no ability to access it. Your saves are gone. Your game is gone. Everything's gone.
Which sucks.
Now, luckily, they are refunding all the game costs.
Right. Well, which is fine. But I know you sent you shared a little news story snippet with us about a player that had 6,000 hours on Red Dead Redemption 2. And was like begging them to do something to let him keep that progress. Or, well, he, her, they, them, I don't know who it was. They weren't specific, but that individual, I mean, 6,000 hours, I mean, divide that by 24. I don't know. I mean, I can't do that math off the top of my head, but I mean, 2,400 hours is what?
That's 250. That's 250 days.
Okay, yeah, 100 days. Okay, yeah. So that's,
when did Red Dead Redemption 2 come out? Was it 2018?
November 2018.
Okay, so if that was 4 years ago, and he has 6,000 hours, so that's 6,000 hours divided by four.
Yeah.
So that's 1,500 hours divided by 365 days a year.
No.
He played on average 4 hours and 4.25 hours a day for 4 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how many days that is off the top of my head, but I mean, that's a chunk of somebody's life gone. And I mean, obviously, like you said, some people kind of saw the writing on the wall of Stadia, but I mean, that's, I would be upset if that was me. So it's like, it does suck. I mean, it does suck that the people found themselves in that position. And I always think about this too, because it's not just like a Stadia thing. It's like, I think about Spotify. I mean, how long will Spotify be around? It's not like our parents did, where they had like CDs of like music that they had bought from artists that they like, and that's what they have. And you're always going to be able to listen to that until they quit making a way for you to adapt CD players in any way. You will always be able to listen to that music. Now, I mean, Spotify, I mean, there could be another corporation that springs up between now and the next 10 years that might overtake Spotify, and then Spotify might find themselves out of the dust. I mean, I put a lot of time.
Yeah, but at least
playlists.
With Spotify, you didn't have to buy your music and pay the subscription fee.
True,
then
true.
You'd
so
really
yeah.
lose your access.
Yeah, so it's like, all I was doing is paying the subscription fee. But that's, I mean, still, it's like if I were to lose all my playlists, like if I was scrambling to write down every song that I had on a playlist that I've worked on for 6 years, I mean, it's over 500 songs. That would take me quite a long time to get all that down. I mean, I guess I could scroll through and record with my phone, but then to get onto that new thing, unless there was like a way for me to transfer between, which corporations don't make it easy. Like let's say Xbox goes under tomorrow. Obviously that's not happening. I mean, I'm going to want a PlayStation 5, one, and then two, I'm going to want my saves and everything sent over from Xbox to PlayStation 5, because I mean, that's like, I would want that. Like, cause I need that almost.
And it wouldn't happen except for select games.
Because it's different code. Yeah, it's different code. There's so many things that go into transferring anything between platforms that, I mean, it's kind of rough. And I mean,
we are a little spoiled in that more games have cross-save than ever before. Like, Ubisoft has cross-save on all their games now. Like, you can play Assassin's Creed Valhalla and then just pick it up on another platform and you're fine. Yeah. Cyberpunk, now you can do that. But it's the big games from the big publishers, and it's not even all of those. It's definitely not everything.
Yeah.
And it always crazy to me that people jump ship. Like, I've mostly played Xbox. Spencer talks about this a lot because Spencer wants to check out the PlayStation exclusives. He's tempted to play those. And sometimes he's like, well, maybe I should get a PlayStation. And that's why I have both. But switching completely, the only people that I guess that makes sense, that there's no like hesitation, is if you have no attachment to your gamer profile and your library, your digital library and your achievements. You have to have no attachment to any of that stuff to just completely wholesale jump ship and say, you know what, I'm a PlayStation 5 gamer now. And I had an N64, and I had a PS1, and I had a PS2, and then the Halo came around, and I got an Xbox, and ever since I've been with Xbox. And back then, there weren't the things we have now, internet connectivity and profiles and achievements and all the stuff that holds me in the Xbox ecosystem. But then again, I also own both consoles. I have the PlayStation 5. So I don't know. It is an interesting conundrum. And what you're saying about digital ownership and stuff is the conundrum of our days, right? Because there's all this stuff now that is streaming exclusive, right? Like when Rings of Power now is running on Amazon Prime, you have to have a Prime subscription. You can't own that. I mean, eventually they'll probably release a Blu-ray of it, but for the foreseeable future, you can only watch that by having Amazon Prime. And there's a whole like quantities of television that are locked into these streaming services. And if they go under or you stop paying for it, you just lose access. And I mean, that is the Game Pass dilemma too, right? Like if you only have Game Pass and you play all your games through Game Pass, if Game Pass ever goes away or you don't keep up your subscription, you would have to buy all those games, or at least buy the ones you want to keep playing. Yeah, I guess.
Yes. I don't know. Losing progress is something that I've like felt heavily. I don't know, for just for whatever reason, it's always been like on my mind about games in general. Because I played a Facebook game, and it was a Marvel based Facebook game for probably like 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And I didn't sink a whole lot of money into it. I think I did like my normal, like $60 for a free game, as much as I would pay for it. Maybe if I really like it, like a little bit more, like as if I'm paying for DLC, but never, never more than like $100. That's been my rule since like World of Tanks mostly. But it, cause that was like one of the ones that just beat me down. I really wanted, I had to have the stuff. But this game, and it went under, and I want to say like 2014, 15, 16, maybe, sometime in somewhere in that 2 year span. And I just thought to myself, I was like, man, imagine being one of the people who spent like hundreds, if not over a couple thousand dollars. Cause I mean, this was like microtransactions were like not policed whatsoever. Like, and so they were just like, yeah, here, you buy money for this or spend money on this. And people are like, okay, sounds good. As long as it makes me better and I get cooler stuff. And the game went under.
Truthfully,
no refunds for any of it. And I was like, dude, I was like, I'd be firebombing their headquarters. 100%. If I spent thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars on a game and I didn't get any of it and they just shut the game down. Like, I'm sorry. Like all... I cannot accept that that's just the way of life. And now it's like, that's just it. And I have to accept it. Like, no, I dedicated years of my life to this game, spent hundreds of dollars on it. You got to do something for me. Sorry.
But that's kind of like all modern games now, though. Cause if you think about it, like,
I know
20 years from now, Fortnite servers likely not going to be online. Yeah. And there will be people that spent tens of thousands of dollars on cosmetics and stuff for that game that just won't be able to play it anymore. Like all servers will eventually go
like
away.
Me with like League of Legends, like I spent a decent amount of change on skins on that game. I don't ever play it ever anymore.
Yeah,
like,
but that's your choice. At least like the servers are still open for that one.
Well, right, but I'm just saying like eventually they won't be. But even though I've quit playing it, it's like the servers might as well be off.
Oh, like, man. What's that? You probably haven't heard of this, but there was a PlayStation exclusive game that just came out 6 or 7 months ago. I think 8 or 9 months ago that they're getting ready to shut down. They're shutting it down less than a year, and the game's unplayable without an internet connection. So people bought that for $60 and or maybe even 70, and will not be able to play it within 1 year.
Yeah,
that it's is like, nuts.
Yeah, it's like that's like it's like kind of messed up. It's like I get it, but like that. Which I've complained about online only games before, and obviously I think we talked about this last week that they are making it eligible for like games eligible to just be played offline that I paid for on like game or that like that I paid for online, because like I used to like complain that it's like, well, it's like I need to be online to play a game that I've paid for. Like no that's not what I signed up for. But it also reminds me of, and I feel like we talked about this before, or like maybe on the cast or maybe off the cast and you've explained it to me. Technically, when you buy a game off of the internet or just in general, you're not actually buying the game. You're licensing it, basically.
Yeah.
You do not own that game. So at any point, they can straight up take it from you.
Well, and that's also true when you own the disc, because it's different because you still have access to it, but you don't like, it's not like you bought the copyright. You just have permission.
But if you're going to tell me that developer is going to come knocking on my door.
No,
and I
not.
Give the game back. I'm like, no, I spent money on it. They might have legal right. Cause I'm technically leasing it. I'm not buying the game. I'm buying the lease, which is like a very like not talked about enough fine print article that I think should talk like people should talk about. Because everybody thinks that they own these games. It's like, and obviously it's not a big deal, but it's like theoretically they could come to you with like a warrant, not really a warrant, but like a subpoena, and be like, hey, give us our game back.
Yeah, well, and it's crazy because the pandemic drove digital adoption way higher than it was before, because I remember we were trending towards 50%, and the pandemic in under 2 years.
What is this game you sent me, Tim? Like, I don't think we've even talked about it.
No, it's a PS5 only game. That's why.
Well, no wonder we haven't talked about it. Even still,
it's a Square Enix game developed by Platinum Games, and in under a year, they're shutting it down, and it requires servers to play. That's how hard it bombed. But everyone that paid $60 for that game is losing access in under a year. That is absolutely insane. That should require, like, here's the thing. Every game that isn't multiplayer, I feel like it should be the policy of Xbox or PlayStation that if you're going to shut down the servers for your game, you're required to release an offline patch that makes the game playable. Anything that has a story mode that doesn't require internet access for the story mode, make it patch it right. Like, and maybe it's not a requirement, but if you want to do what's right by your fan base, patch offline mode into the game before you shut off the servers. Let people keep playing your game. Heck, that might even allow you to have a revenue stream for the game after the server shut down. You could still sell the game for $10 or whatever for legacy copies for offline only mode. Like, so much of Destiny and Destiny 2 is just gone.
I just can't believe I didn't even hear about this game. Like, I'm on the article now.
It's Babylon's Fall, by the way, if we didn't say that listening.
Like, I'm kind of reading some of the reviews in the background while Tim talks.
Yeah, it's a sad story. I can't say that I would have been interested in the game, but having seen what's happened to people that paid for the money, it paid for the game. And I mean, some games really bomb. Like, what was the game that came out before Saints Row that from that studio, from Volition? Agents of Mayhem is rumored to have sold less than a million copies. I believe it was less than like 200,000. I can't remember. It was really, really low. That's a really bad bomb. One of the worst possibly for a AA or AAA game ever. And thankfully that didn't require online servers. I mean, it did have co-op, but I think it's still playable. And I think the servers are actually still up anyway for online co-op. But let's go off Stadia here, because we got plenty more to talk about this week. Although I think that is the biggest news of the week, even though it's not related to Xbox. I do think Xbox and Nvidia are doing it right, which is, let me cloud stream games as a secondary thing. I'm not required to cloud stream it, although they are offering that now. If you want to play on your Samsung TV or on your laptop, you can get Xbox Game Pass and just stream everything, but you're not required to. I can still buy my games, or I can do Game Pass, or I can do cloud streaming, and they all three are viable, and I'm not locked into any of those. In fact, I can also buy physical media, so I have four options, really, and I appreciate that. I like the flexibility. And I feel like PlayStation kind of is, I mean, they're basically pursuing the same thing, only they don't do as many day one releases in their subscription service. So it's really just, and they're not as heavy in streaming because they have it as a part of their PlayStation Plus offering, but it's mostly for PS3 retro or PS3 classic games in emulation through streaming. Anyway, I'm off the rails. Number two, this rumor comes from Insider Gaming, which this is a new website that just launched for gaming news. And it's focused on insider like leaks and stuff. And it's run by Tom Henderson, who is a frequent leaker. And I believe he started as like a insider in the Call of Duty community, but he gets a lot of insider information. So he started his own website to basically report it. And his site and Video Game Chronicle are two of my favorite video game news sites now. Especially Video Game Chronicle. Those guys are doing great work. Anyway, his source tells him that Disney wants to release two Star Wars games per year going forward. Now, that's going to take them a little while to spin up enough games, but this is why we may be seeing so many Star Wars games get announced lately, because we currently have eight in development that we know of. Amy Hennig's Star Wars game at Skydance Media, a FPS at Respawn, an open world game at Ubisoft Massive, Star Wars Eclipse at Quantic Dream, Knights of the Old Republic remake at Saber, Jedi Survivor, which is the Fallen Order sequel from Respawn Entertainment. I'm reading this list from the Insider Gaming article, by the way. Star Wars Hunters from Zynga, so that's probably a mobile game. And then an untitled game from Respawn that is a strategy game. So this
and I said
says
hate, not eight. Just want to make sure people know I hate this.
Oh,
idea.
You hate. Okay.
Yeah. Nah. You said eight after, and I was like, you might have said I said eight. I thought I said eight. Nope.
Gotcha.
I'm
glad you made
idea,
the clarification.
And we'll talk about it more.
Now, the rumor says it's going to be one smaller game and one larger game. So that could be like a mobile game and then a AAA, like Knights of the Old Republic style game. I don't know. I don't really have a feeling on this. I will say with all the Marvel and Star Wars games, some people hate it. I don't know that I do. And the reason is I feel like if there's a lot of Star Wars and Marvel stuff coming out, I'm bound to like some of it, and some of it's bound to be trash. And that's pretty much true of all.
And that's not acceptable to me. Sorry.
I just think video games are such a subjective and expensive endeavor and a mixture of technology and art that some of it's not going to be successful. So if they
and
do more,
accept that
maybe, Disney.
Sorry,
maybe I just don't opinion. Ever, I just don't ever think they're going to put out an annual Star Wars game and have it be quality.
And they don't need to.
Yeah. I personally would rather have a really good Star Wars game
every two years. 2 to 3 years.
Two to three years. Great. Perfect.
That was the lifespan of Assassin's Creed for years, and it was the most successful franchise until they started trying to do it annually.
Well, no, it's been annual since the second game, and then they went to biannual. Assassin's Creed was annual.
Are you thinking Revelations and Brotherhood were basically just revamps of 2, like slightly better those 2 years.
Starting with 2 all the way up until Unity, it was annual.
And a lot of those were like, I don't know. You never know. You never knew. A lot of people didn't like 3. A lot of people didn't like 3.
I don't think 3. Anything should be annualized. But the difference is here, these are all different games from different studios. So they're not like, not like they're spreading it all
like
out.
It, though.
Yeah.
I can't abide by it, by my beloved Star Wars.
Well, and from the 8 that we know of, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, four or five of them, I would say.
Open world,
I'm cautiously
lost
optimistic
my attention
about.
Immediately. Like, well, I heard open world for Star Wars. Heck no. There's way too much going on in Star Wars for me to ever, like, want to have an open world game for Star Wars. Like, there's too much that goes on in the universe. Sorry.
They could just pick one planet, though. They could make like a Western, like The Mandalorian, and set it only on,
whatever. Like GTA, but Star Wars. Or
yeah, except for
Creed, but Star Wars.
You're a bounty hunter going around hunting down aliens, or you're a Jedi hunting down Sith Inquisitors.
They
can
1313, and 1313 was basically going to be that, like, before
different time, different mantra on how to handle games. They've kind of gone through a cycle now.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Disney literally grabbing the Star Wars cow by the udders and crushing. And while money comes out, because that to me is what this seems like. They're going to pretend like they want to make good games. All they care about is making money, and people are going to use the Star Wars name to make money, and people are going to buy it, like me, like you, like Spencer, because we love Star Wars and the names in there. And although we might not be super intrigued about what's going on behind the scenes or like what's going on with the game, we might still buy it. They might still get their $60 out of us because we are sheep about Star Wars.
Oh, man.
Because people are. People love Star Wars, and they want more Star Wars, but...
This is related, but looking at this list, there's 2 Star Wars Respawn games, which made me think of Titanfall, which made me connect it back to our previous story with Stadia. Titanfall 1 is a perfect example of a game that I paid $60 for that I can't play today because there aren't enough multiplayer players to get a match. There's like 5 people playing the game. So
like an FPS, like a Star Wars FPS, like
I mean, those are really popular in the 90s.
Unless it's Battlefront 3, like it's got to be Battlefront 3, and it's got to be better than the first 2 installments. That's all I can say. Like, man, I hope they did the opposite of what happened to Wildlands with Breakpoint, and that they keep what they had at the end of Battlefront 2 and just make it better. Don't make all these crazy changes. If anything, Just try to redirect it back towards Battlefront 2 2005.
Well, it's entirely different studio, so I bet it's going to be something entirely new.
But then what else? Oh my god! Then why? Then what are they doing?
I don't know. Star Wars universe is a big universe.
What other FPS? What other FPS are you thinking?
I bet it'll be something entirely new. They'll pick some little ragtag group to make a game around.
Oh my goodness, it's got to be multiplayer if it's an FPS.
Scavengers or no, I guarantee it's going to be multiplayer and story would be my prediction.
I hope it's just multiplayer, honestly. I hope it's just like Battlefront.
Man, I've had enough. I don't want any more Star Wars multiplayer games. I'm out.
I do. I want them to take, because I really liked Battlefront 2 at the end of its lifespan. Battlefront 2 2017.
I mean, it did get better.
The end of its lifespan was very, very good. People loved it. People loved it. So all you got to do is take what you had at the end of Battlefront 2 2017 and start from there, and do not put any microtransactions in the dang game. All right.
Yeah, well, that's wishful thinking.
I mean, or at least don't try to start out with star cards, the whole BS
yeah,
that got the whole
make
game.
Them all, make it all
dumpster
skins.
Fired in the first place. Yeah, exactly. Cosmetic. We have said, as people who are gamers, we would pay for cosmetics if they're cool enough. And if they're like decently priced enough, like just get it together. But I don't know. I know you want us to talk more about this, but I'm just like, man,
no,
this is very frustrating to see them want to do. To a year, even if one is a minor game, like they've already, like, people are already not happy about the episode 9, and what has come out since episode 9?
Anything? All the best stuff Star Wars is in the Disney Plus series right now, and even some of those, like Book of Boba Fett, I wasn't super high on.
I liked Book of Boba Fett enough. Like, the thing is,
it was fine.
It was conservative enough to make me not hate it. And it was, I don't hate it.
I just wasn't like, I would have been fine if it didn't exist.
And my girlfriend, she watched it with me, and she was like, yeah, my favorite episodes were the Mando eps.
Yeah,
I
mine
was
too.
Like, I was the two like, Mando yeah, eps. I was like, I can't even fault you on that. Cause all anybody cares about is Grogu.
So, and everyone's favorite character, the
Baby Yoda.
What do you call it? The people riding the little Jedi bikes. Everyone's favorite.
Oh, you mean everybody's least favorite people?
That's exactly the sarcasm I had.
Everybody loves
everyone's
Grogu,
favorite Star Wars characters, the guys driving Vespas
those,
in
Star
Wars.
Yeah, those were pretty bad. Like the light skinned dude who did like the 360 spin shoot.
Oh my gosh.
Like, everybody like made like a joke
about
that.
Okay, we gotta move on.
Like...
We gotta move on. number three, to something even happier. Just kidding. This is terrible news. Saudi Arabia has announced it's acquiring a leading game publisher. And the reason this is terrible is because the only place worse than China is Saudi Arabia with their human rights violations. And Saudi Prince Mohammed
bin Salman.
Yeah,
I think you're thinking
Salman,
of Iran.
No, Saudi Arabia. Google it.
Yeah, wow.
Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He's the guy that killed that journalist that blew up. Anyway, his Savvy Games group is one of part of, this is a quote he said in a statement. I'm picking this up on Video Game Chronicle. Savvy Games Group is part of our ambitious strategy to aiming to make Saudi Arabia the ultimate global hub for games and esports sector by 2030. We are harnessing the untapped potential across the esports and game sector to diversify our economy, driving innovation in the sector, and further scale the entertainment and esports competition offerings across the kingdom. He wants to be a global hub for gaming by 2030. I hate this. I hate this so much.
It's 8 years is pretty ambitious to even do that. I will agree, but
he is one of the wealthiest
people in the entire world, although we don't condone this individual in any way. He's got an eye for the future. Esports. I know, as much as I hate to say it, because I'm a traditional sports fan more than I am esports, but like, people watching game, people, other people play games. And if you look at like some like dystopian futuristic movies that have entertainment in line with video games as like a general form of entertainment, it's not a bad idea. It really isn't.
I don't agree with that part. I just don't want it to be him.
Obviously. I mean, I would hate for it to be Russia or China either, but that's me speaking as an American. I'm sure any Saudi or Russian or Chinese person would be like, oh, I want it to be us.
Oh, hang on, though. Let's talk about the other interesting part of this is they say he's acquiring a leading game publisher, and I believe the amount was $13 billion. So
who
could he acquire for $13 billion?
EA?
If you look at the market cap of EA and Take-Two, it's too big. He can't afford those for $13
Ubisoft?
Billion. Ubisoft, I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Possibly. The ones
THQ
that
Nordic?
I looked at a bunch of threads online. One that people called out that seems like a real possibility is Capcom, which I don't have a lot of love for Capcom. Not that I want him to acquire anybody.
Well, they do Street Fighter, don't they?
Yeah, but that would hurt me less than some other brands that I'm more
loyal.
Well,
the thing is, well, I mean, Street Fighter hasn't been big since like the early 2000s, though. I mean, people still play
but they do have a new game coming out, which people seem hopeful for.
Right.
Street Fighter 6.
I mean, am I wrong in saying that it hasn't really been relevant in 15 years?
I mean, Street Fighter 4 is still maybe the best Street Fighter game. Well, one of the versions of it. There's so many. Street Fighter 5 was PlayStation exclusive, so that kind of hurt it in some ways. But I think it was still fairly popular. I don't know. If you're okay with it, I hate this story and I want to move on.
Well, I mean, I do want to talk about it. So if
I don't know who else he could acquire.
You really don't know who else.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to just think up people because it's probably somebody we're not thinking of, you know?
I was like, I mean, well, obviously Nintendo, I mean, they're not a developer. They're like, I was like, well, they're not selling because they're like,
no, yeah,
they are like, I think they're very, very proud of their Japanese heritage. And I don't see any part of Nintendo going anywhere.
And they're probably too expensive. I don't know. I'm going to look up the market cap.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, $13 billion. I mean, obviously we saw Bethesda got acquired for what, seven?
This can't be right. This says 7.4 trillion. Oh, Japanese. Okay. USD. Okay. What's their market cap USD? It doesn't convert it. Oh, well. It's.
Well, still 7 trillion in Japanese, whatever, is just how uncultured I am. I mean,
yen to
it's got to be over 13 billion.
Yeah, that's like $3 trillion US, I think, because Hang on. What did I say? How many trillion yen
you
did
said,
I say?
You said, didn't you say like seven?
Seven. So that'd be billion, million, thousand. That is roughly 48 million US dollars.
It's got to be more than that. That doesn't sound right.
Maybe I typed it in wrong. I'm using a calculator.
Nintendo's not as
the
big
numbers
as we think
small.
They are.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not Nintendo. And
but
I don't
again,
think
I, like I said, I don't think Nintendo would sell. Not to Saudi Arabia.
I don't think a lot of the largest Japanese companies would sell, but Capcom, I don't know.
Yeah.
They could hostile takeover Capcom.
Mean, they could. But yeah, other than, like I said, THQ Nordic is the only other people I could think of that's like...
They got to be way too big. Think of all they've acquired.
I mean, well, yeah, but that's like recent. I mean,
yeah, but remember, they're part of the Embracer
like
Group now.
Approved,
so
though. Oh, which is Chinese, yeah.
Which, no, it's Eastern European? No, where is...
I thought Embracer was Chinese or partially Chinese.
No, it's not. Like, you're thinking of Tencent and
well, I know Tencent, but I thought Embracer was partially Chinese owned too.
No, I'm hang on, Swedish. They're Swedish. Embracer Group is Swedish.
Well, disregard me then. It shows how much I pay attention.
Yeah, you're not really in the business side. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah, I'm not. You and Spencer are much more in tune with that. I'm more of the game player.
Yeah, so my only hope here is it's somebody I don't care about so that I don't have to feel bad giving my money to games that are just fueling Saudi Arabia's economy. Anyway, number four, Far Cry 6 expansion has leaked. It was leaked by the Xbox store itself. The people that are always looking at the back end of Xbox store happened to see a Game of the Year edition for Far Cry 6, which had a new expansion attached to it. So apparently the name of that expansion is Lost Between Worlds, which I'm really interested what that means, because Lost Between Worlds kind of has like a trans, you know, multidimensional thing to it, or multi, I guess it could be worlds, like two different worlds, like, you know, the way two countries can be referred to as different worlds by the differences in them. But no word on when this would come or how much it would cost or when we'll hear about this. We just know that it exists. I did not buy any of the DLC for Far Cry 6 because I was really burnt on Far Cry 5's DLC. It didn't add anything to the game. It was just more of playing the same with like a weird coat of skin. Man, I'm mixing metaphors now. So a real expansion with a story and maybe a new island or something would be cool, but I guess we'll wait for the real announcement. Also, Gus, I'm assuming you haven't finished Far Cry 6 since you bought it on sale fairly recently.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been bad about it. Every once in a while I get into it, I'll play it for a little while. But and it's not that it's a bad game. It's been a point in my life where I like to just be able to go home and play something I'm comfortable with and that I played a decent amount of. And although I like Far Cry 6 and it's not something I would like say isn't in that category, it's like I have approximately 2 hours every night to dedicate to gaming.
Yeah, and you have two jobs.
No, I have two jobs and I'm in school. So.
And you have a girlfriend.
And I do have a girlfriend. So it's like
That's a lot of stuff to commit to.
Like Thursday nights, Thursdays I get done at work at 2:30. I go home. It's about like by the time I get out of the shower and I'm done, it's 3:30. I have school at 5. So I have enough time to eat. and then leave and go to school. And then after school, I get done. Then I go to her place because it gets out at 8. And then, yeah, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, I work for 3 hours a night afterwards. So I have like an hour to play when I get home for a bit, like while I'm eating. And some of the times I spend that watching Netflix or whatever else that I want to watch, like House of the Dragon. And then when I get home from like 9 to 10:30, I'll like 9:15 to 10:30, I'll play games.
Yeah. I don't know that I need
nothing. Anybody cares about my daily schedule, but
no, I know. And a lot of people that listen to this probably are younger than us that have more free time. Like I used to be, but, such is life. I guess my thought on this is I don't need more Far Cry 6. Like I got a lot out of it. I really liked the game. I just don't need more, but that is to say they'll have to show me what this is. And if it's interesting in a new way and not just another bolt on like some of the other DLC they've done, I might be interested depending on the how interesting it is and what the price point is, but I don't feel like I need it. So I feel like that's a good place to be in, where I'm naturally skeptical, so that when they announce it, it's like, okay, you really got an uphill battle to convince me to part with some money to play more Far Cry 6. But that's also a weird place because I just feel like we're finally getting to where some games are coming out for this fall, to where if they release this, well, I've already got stuff on my backlog and new stuff coming out to play. But I do like Far Cry 6 a lot, so it's not something I would steer other people away from. Okay, number 5. Skull and Bones is delayed again for the 5th time since its reveal in 2018. It's now delayed till March 9th, 2023. In their statement, though, they say, interestingly, while the game development is finished at this stage, the extra time will be used to further polish and balance the experience using players' feedback from our technical tests and insider program, which will happen over the past 2 weeks. End quote. I don't care. I'm out on Skull and Bones. They're not going to win me over. I think it's good they delayed it because it's out of the Q4.
It's out of everybody's eye too now, because I think a lot of people were partially upset by it being not like a more single player oriented experience.
And like the off foot stuff being very limited seemed to burn a lot of people. The gameplay loop seemed to confuse some people. I think they need the time to get the feedback in there, to be honest. I think this is a game that's on Stadia watch, where this could find an audience and be successful in the background for a long time, or it could be they struggle to keep the servers open for more than a year or two. This one is totally up in the air, and it's all going to come down to the execution and whether they can find an audience. And I wish them well, but I'm not going to be there. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm really disappointed that this game didn't turn out more like a pirate adventure. Because now it's basically Fortnite with pirate ships, which is super simplifying it, but that's how I feel about it. So it's my show. I can say what I want. Number 6. This is my favorite story of the week. The ability to disable quick resume might finally be coming to the console because of a gentleman on Twitter known as @GabeTC99. He said in replying to xCloud Tim Dog on Twitter, "I still don't understand how it's not a feature you can disable. It's amazing for a lot of games, but when it tries to quick resume on an online game, it absolutely breaks it and you have to manually quit. If only an option to disable it for such games existed!" Exclamation point. And Phil Spencer himself, head of gaming at Xbox, responded and said, "Good feature ask. Makes sense. We will put it on the list of things to look at." So the head honcho of Xbox himself, Phil Spencer, acknowledged the request, and this, I feel like I've said this 1,000 times on this show, it makes no sense that quick resume is set as the default and you can't turn it off for specific games, because there's games like any multiplayer game, PUBG, Apex Legends, Fortnite, Call of Duty Warzone, the second you quick resume it, it breaks and you have to kill the game and do it again because it requires an online connection. Destiny 2 breaks. The cloud saving for Assassin's Creed Valhalla breaks. It sucks for any game that has a persistent online connection that doesn't have the code written in a way that it reconnects easily when you quick resume. Some games are smarter about this and they have code built in to auto reconnect to the servers without messing anything up, but it's very few. Now, quick resume is amazing. I don't want the feature done away with. When it works, it is amazing. Like Doom Eternal, I jumped right back into today after playing it yesterday, and I was right where I left it, and it was perfect because no servers were involved. Now, there are servers in Doom Eternal, but they just reconnected in the background. It didn't affect my gameplay and everything just went on. It was awesome. And it saves going through all those menus. But I would 100% disable Quick Resume in all my multiplayer games. And I think it would be awesome. It would save me so much time with Apex Legends alone. So I think it's great that this is finally getting attention. Gus, I don't know if this affects you because you probably don't play that many online games that the server connection thing is an issue with Quick Resume.
Maybe Smite. Well, Smite? That's actually Smite is something that I have to re-log in, but it takes almost no time at all. The thing that really annoyed me when I did play it, Madden.
Oh,
Madden, yeah. would always, if you exit it to the dashboard and went right back to it, it's like server connection lost.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that kind of sucks if I'm in the middle of the game or something.
Yep. I hope this makes it out. I'm sure it will, honestly, as long as it's technically feasible. I mean, if Phil Spencer is tweeting about this, he surely sent an email to somebody on his team. It was like, hey, can we look into this? Because, I publicly acknowledged that I was going to look into this. He's not going to drop the ball. So it'll be interesting. I'm in the insider program, so hopefully I see that in an insider build in the next few months would be awesome, especially, I mean, potentially as quick as they seem to iterate on stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this before the end of the year or beginning of next year if it's something that's feasible. So that's cool. Final major news story for the week, and major is maybe a stretch. E3 2023, we have the first plan, confirmation of plans for next year's event. The most interesting thing is they're separating the media days from the gamer days, and they're basically doing what they set out to do to make it more of like a consumer-friendly show. So it's going to be Tuesday, June 13th through Friday, June 16th at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Tuesday, Wednesday are going to be business-only days. Thursday will be a business and consumer day, and Friday will be a consumer-only day. And they're going to have separate halls for like a business area where they have like meeting spaces to do like interviews and things like that. And then the normal like show floor with all the game demos and stuff that is open to the public if you buy a ticket. Sounds cool. I don't think I'm going to be going to this one. Although I did tell you or Gus that if you guys were able to or wanted to go, that I would go with
me
you.
Me or Gus?
You were.
I am now Spencer. I am now Spencer Rain. Spencer's been dethroned.
Yep, you guys have traded places. We're doing Freaky Spencer. Friday.
Freaky Sunday.
If either of you guys wanted to go, I might go with you if we did a quick trip. And
I mean, I'd like to do E3, but it's like,
I'm worried it's none of the publishers are going to show up, and it's going to just all be
and
like,
that's how it's been trending too.
Yeah. Like, we know PlayStation isn't going to go. Xbox isn't going to go. Well, Xbox will be offsite. Activision hasn't typically been going, but now they're going to be part of Xbox. So I guess maybe they would be offsite. Capcom is sometimes there. Embracer Group is there. Bethesda now is part of Xbox, so they're pulled off the show floor. I mean, it's just all of it is kind of, even the 2 years that I went, it was trending down, and then we had the 2 years off, and now it's coming back, and it's just a big question mark. And anyway, I am excited that they're trying to improve it. It seems like the general consensus on this is really positive, because what this does is it gets the business of E3 moved to two private days into its own space, and then it moves the consumer, which they need to drive revenue into the convention, which funds the ESRB. No, that's not right. I think it's ESA. Anyway, that's how they fund their operations. E3 is a big part of their revenue driving for the year, and they use that for they do for the industry, with lobbying. They're the lobbying group for the video game industry, and they fund a lot of their operations through E3, which they haven't had the last 2 years, or they did 1 year, but it was digital only. So I think this is a good way to increase revenue by embracing the consumer side of the show, but still keeping the business side separate and ahead of the show. But we'll see how it shakes out. It could crash and burn. They've hired a different event. I don't know what you call them, event agency to run the show for this year than the one that's run the last few. So it's all up in the air. And with that, let's move to the quick hits. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quick hits for us this week. Number one, Ubisoft is quietly testing a game called Project U, which is a co-op shooter, which on their website described as a session-based co-op shooter where many players unite to prevail against an overwhelming threat. So this kind of reminds me of all those games that came out like a year ago, like oh, what was the Rainbow Six Outbreak or whatever it was, where you had to fight the aliens co-op
what
game.
What even happened to that game?
It's in Game Pass, and you can buy it super cheap for like $10 or $20.
I don't even recall it coming out. I remember being interested before, but it was like, because it was originally based off of like a disease, and then COVID came out, and they were like, ooh, maybe.
Yeah, and it became more alien. Yeah, it used to be called Outbreak. I forget what they changed it to. Extraction. That's what it is. Yeah, it's on Game Pass if you want to try it, Gus. Anyway, so this game, I don't know, the artwork on the website, I don't even know if it's from the game. It looks kind of like Apex Legends-y with maybe a little bit more of anime art style. Not anime, that's not right, but it's definitely cartoony. Anyway, whatever. When that officially gets announced, we can talk about whether it's worth talking about. But right now, the open beta is, or not open beta, closed beta is only on PC anyway. Number two, looks like the Need for Speed game that has been rumored is coming this year. It's leaked to be Need for Speed Unbound. The leaked release date is December 2nd, and supposedly it's going to be revealed within the next 2 weeks. This is all coming from Tom Henderson on that site I mentioned earlier, Insider Gaming. So this is a leak from him, from his sources. The weird thing about this one is that it's said to have like anime designs. Like when you drift your car, like fire and smoke comes out with like anime, like, you know, like a fight in anime with like, or like in a comic book where it says like pow, only in cars. So I'm not really into that. Number three, new controller announced from Xbox, mineral camo controller. I would call this like a teal camo controller. I don't know why Xbox always does so many camo controllers, but they must just sell exceedingly well, or they wouldn't do that.
Because people think camo is cool because army is cool.
I don't think that's it at all.
I don't know why. I think it's 100% it.
You think they just sell this to all the jarheads?
Well, not to jarheads, but to like kids. I mean, because kids like Call of Duty, cool. and they think camo is cool, so they buy it.
Wish fulfillment.
It's camo. Yeah.
Okay, well, closely related, quick hit number four, they're leaked images of a Lunar Shift controller. This one is kind of looks like a sand color, but it has like a silver effect to it. They're saying causes a surreal shimmer. Changes color with light and motion. What I like about it is the grips on the back, the rubberized grips, say unique color swirl design, and it kind of looks like marble.
Those are kind of cool. Like I have the lunar white one, the original one that's like,
oh yeah, I remember
based
that
off
one.
Of the lunar lander, and I always thought that one was really cool. Not because I had gold.
That one was
on it,
cool.
But I just thought it was kind of just like a neat little thing. It was a nice departure from their usual dumb controller designs.
Yeah, and the final quick hit this week is
Xbox, but their controller designs kind of suck.
Well, now you can just make your own on Design Lab, so that is the best. Somewhere I had that 20th anniversary edition controller, and I don't know what I did with it. I remembered
I
had one.
Real quick aside, since it is the quick hits.
It's become the long hits. Go.
Yeah. It's Rainbow Six Vegas 2. You could create your own camo schemes in that. And I don't know why this is that you using the Design Lab and talking about this, because I know you can make your own custom camo ones now too, right?
I think so, but I think you're limited to just the ones they have already printed the skin for.
Either way, I just remember you could do your own, make your own camo in that game, and I never was able to unlock it because you basically had to play multiplayer to do it, and it was like before I had Xbox Live, and I was like, dang it.
Are the online servers still on for Rainbow Six Vegas 2?
I feel like we mentioned it on the podcast when
you're right. It was that bunch of servers Ubisoft was shutting down,
which is
okay.
Sad,
number five, the last quick hit is Games with Gold for October. One of these is already available, but remember, this is the first month ever of Games with Gold without 360. So game number one is Windbound, and it's available now. And number two is Bomberman Crew Deluxe.
Bomber Crew. Which is
I said Bomberman. It's just Bomber Crew Deluxe.
Bomber Crew has actually been featured on the Mighty Jingles. Spencer will know exactly who I'm talking about.
You guys have mentioned him before.
And he had a video highlighting Bomber Crew like years ago. And it was kind of cool. I might actually go get it.
It'll be free on the 16th.
Yep, which is 2 weeks from from today we're casting. That is Sunday. So 13 days.
I'm trying to remind myself what that game Windbound is, because
it basically is like you're like a bomber crew in World War II, I'm pretty sure. And like,
I'm talking about the other game, Windbound.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Bomber Crew looks very like cartoony.
It is. It's like, kind, yeah, it reminds me of the that space race game that I had. Mars.
Oh,
what was it?
Mars Horizon.
Yes, Mars Horizon. Yes, yes.
I like it.
Reminds
that game.
Me.
I
it reminds me
one.
Very much of that game. I enjoy that game a lot, and that's what it reminded me of.
Also, the publisher of that game and the developers, really cool. Like, yes. I forget what it was. I had a call with them where they had some, like, I wonder, it wasn't, was it an astronaut or just some people?
Auroch Digital.
Yeah.
Mars Horizon,
anyway.
A 2020 space game by Auroch Digital about the space race.
Those guys are really cool. I was on a yes. call where they kind of explained stuff behind the game, and it was just really interesting. Really cool guys. Last thing I want to say about the quick hits is Need for Speed used to be one of my favorite franchises, and man, has it fallen. Like, I remember in the 360 days and Xbox days, I used to want to buy every game that came out, and I would play them for hours on end. And now I cannot remember the last time I actually enjoyed a Need for Speed game. And I've, you know, they eventually all come to EA Play, so I've tried most of them. And the Heat one that came out last couple years ago was supposed to be pretty good, but I played it for, I don't know, 5 hours, and I was like, I am not feeling this. I'm going to go back to Forza Horizon.
I got to say.
Sad. And this new one sounds
guys,
even worse.
The guys who made Mars Horizon, I'm looking at their Wikipedia page right now, and boy, am I interested in one of these games that came out recently.
They released a newer game?
Brewmaster, Beer Brewing Simulator. And, you know, I'm going to watch a trailer of that tonight, and that might end up in my Steam library or on my Xbox library here soon.
It's currently on sale, 10% off. Oh, yes. Introductory offer, and the offer ends on the 6th, which is this week.
It was just released 3 days ago, actually, now that I'm looking at it. 3 days ago from here, so 4 days from this podcast beginning.
It's kind of... I'm not gonna lie, this looks kind of, it's like Beer Brewing Simulator.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch a trailer as soon as we're done here. And my dad used to brew beer. I wish he would get back into it, but he used to brew beer. And this might be something that I might just like.
Is it only on Steam?
Like a cheeky little thing. No, it's on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, Series X, Series
coming
S,
soon to Xbox.
5.
It's just not out yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
very
on Steam
interesting.
Already, which is probably where I would almost prefer to play it on Steam, but we will see. Like I said, I'm going to watch the trailer, and then I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah, if you buy it and play it, then you can tell us about it and what you've been
up
to.
I'm glad I decided to go ahead and look, because like I wanted to see if they also made the Bomb.
No, they definitely did not.
I know. They didn't, but it's like I say, it's almost like the cartoony aspect makes it kind of similar. So I thought maybe. Well, their first game is from 2012, and it's a trading card based game about Syria.
Well, I guess we'll end it there. Any final thoughts, Gus? Well, I did have one thought for you. I wanted to ask you, as we get really close, we're 3 weeks away now. How are you feeling about Gotham Knights? A little Batman family.
I don't know. I don't know. It's.
I'm still on the fence. I don't know.
I want to like it.
I'm probably going to buy it even if it's bad.
I would be more than happy to play it with both of you, and I would buy it.
I believe I'm going to buy it good or bad, because I'm willing to spend the money on the bad, even if it is so. I mean, I played worse games.
If I can get an on-camera confession of you that you'll actually play the game with me, then I would get it, and then we could play it together.
I'm thinking this through.
If you want, wait until next week before it's coming out. If you can give me
an
answer.
We still have 2 weeks,
whenever.
I think. Two but more if, shows.
It was, well, that's what I'm saying. If you get it, just promise you'll actually play it with me, because that was like part of the reason why I got the Division 2, and then we never played it together.
that is a famous example of that going bad.
So if you get it and you say you'll play it with me, then I will play it with you.
I think the only challenge there is that our schedules are very different because of my kids and your two jobs.
That is true.
We'd have to look at that.
Like,
but
on the weekend,
I'm pretty sure I'm
going
to get it, though. Even if it's bad, I'm willing to spend my money.
Even if it takes us a while to play it. If we can only play it on Sunday mornings or Saturday mornings.
Does this mean we only play it together, or that when we're on, we play it together?
I need to see more about the story and how it progresses if you're not playing with people.
I believe what they said is if you play story out of order with someone, when you get to it in your own story, it'll ask you if you want to replay it or if you just want to skip that mission. That's what I read in the preview.
I'll read more about it and we'll decide.
It's all going to depend on the execution. So yeah. I'm excited though. I just because it's a DC game and in my opinion, it's a pretty low bar to be better than Avengers. So that's where I want it to be because I enjoyed my time with the story of Avengers. But after that, I was really burnt out and I tried so hard to like it. I mean, I played all the DLC, characters.
That was a game that we played. I mean, we played a decent amount of that together.
Yeah, we did. I remember I was always Thor.
I didn't hate the game. Hated the direction they went with it, but I didn't think it was a generally bad game.
No, I genuinely liked the story.
Didn't have good direction.
It just, the end game fell apart.
Well, the end game was, yes, bad, but which I think that is a big part of that is the whoever the game director is. I don't know. I mean, because Square Enix did that Babylon Falls game, right? They need to get some crap together.
I think they were the only the publisher on that.
I know, but still, it still tarnishes your name. I mean, you got to think whoever is okaying Babylon Falls is also okaying the crap that they tried to come out with on Avengers.
Yeah, but they sold that studio to Embracer Group, so.
Well, that's still, but they have the same guy in charge, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the same
they, them, whomsoever. But
shall he be worthy? Possess the power of Avengers.
That's right, possess the power of making good games for Square Enix.
Yeah, well, man, so if you go back and listen to podcasts before the Avengers game came out, I was hot and cold. Like I was like, oh, this game looks like trash. Oh, it's starting to look better. Oh,
I liked it because you know how much I liked Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And so.
Yeah, you and I are suckers for good comic book adaptation games.
Beat 'em up action games. Come on, beat 'em ups are so much fun. Like, how can you hate them?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I just am so mixed.
You can't hate beat 'em up games. They're all they're just mindless fun.
I know, and I feel like we're going to get that on Gotham Knights, but I have the same feeling I had about Avengers, which is there's something off. Something just, when I look at it, something feels off.
I don't know, yeah. I'm with you. It's hard to say.
But you can still have fun with a game that doesn't get a 10 out of 10 on Metacritic. Like, a 7 out of 10 game can still be fun.
Does any game get a 10 out of 10 on Metacritic anymore?
No, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, I know. I like games that people think are bad or people like don't think of. So
because games are subjective, and like if I enjoy the subject matter slightly more, then it maybe offsets some of the gameplay being annoying. But I'm hoping it's better than that. But I'm willing to jump in either way, and see how it goes. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. With that, I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton,
and I'm Gus Harden.
One thing I do like about the show today is you gave attention to Brewmaster. I always like cool games that are indie studios. Everybody check out Brewmaster.
And I'm glad you just said something because I honestly almost just completely
forgot about it. I'm going to message it to you.
I have it on YouTube that I want to watch a video. So we will.
It's also only $18. So it's like, I mean, how much are you willing
just
check out a fun game about brewing beer? And actually, PC Building Sim is coming out on PC in 2 weeks, and they finally announced a date and a price, and it's $20 too. And I'm 100% getting PC Building Sim.
Well, the thing I love about Brewmaster, it's like, although it's beer brewing, I don't do as much beer stuff as I used to. I'm more of a whiskey guy anymore. I would be excited to see that. I would love to see like a distillery thing simulator, but yeah.
And anyway, you probably have to like run a business and grow yourself into like a big distillery. Yeah, like we'll you see. Start like yeah, as a little
I,
like.
Well, I wonder if it microbrew. Takes into account like if. Well, the thing is, and that's what I didn't like about Lawn Mowing Simulator is that it was a business. I just wanted to freaking mow lawns all day. I don't want to worry about the money I'm making.
PC Building Sim had a career mode where you run a computer repair shop, and then it had free build mode where you just build computers, do whatever you want.
Yeah,
so that's what it should have is like free mow lawn.
I'm gonna watch a little review of it and see what I see.
So anyway, thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.